the beautiful voice of Andrea Corr there, of The Corrs, Runaway. The reason we're playing Runaway is because that's essentially what we've been doing.
In Lille.
When in Lille.
How do you know her first name?
Just general knowledge, yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Great Touch for a Big Lad. We're back. We're back for another one. We've got lots to catch up on. Since we last spoke to you, we have enjoyed some Irish fun in Paris. We spent a couple of days there. Also there for Portugal, Iceland, as Iceland got a draw.
Ronaldo made it a bit bitchy.
Yeah.
A bit bitch, funny.
Yeah, you're an angry man.
Yeah.
And then we've headed over to Lille to watch Russia versus Slovakia. And then enjoy France against Albania in the fan park. And then after that,
the big one,
as Andrea said herself, we had to run away from the police.
Overzealous French police. Who, I don't know what their agenda is at the moment.
A bit lost at that. But we'll go back to that, Craig. It's just me and Craig. The other boys are on their way to Toulon. They've bought tickets. They were too pricey for us, weren't they, Craig? Our short pockets. And they've headed over there. Dom is very excited. Dom's gone to 4 games now.
He's done well, isn't
he? He went to the Irish Ireland game, which he said was absolutely incredible. Again, we'll talk about that in a sec. And we went to Russia, Slovakia, and now he's going to Wales, England. And for him, he had to go, he was saying, because if he's in France, 30 miles away from the game, and Wales beat England, he's got to be there.
Yeah.
So you can understand that. It's one of those. That's it. Supply and demand, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, this is an issue, actually. I'm sure you'll get onto this, but I'll do it now because
it
seems relevant. Why? I know. For me, I think that the Wales England game is potentially, even pushing the final, the highest in demand game in the tournament. Even pushing the final, I think.
Do you think?
Potentially.
No.
Potentially. Don't get me wrong. That could be wrong. I'm fine. But we'll agree it's a really, really highly demand game.
And they play
it in a stadium of 30,000.
Exactly,
it is insane. I don't know how this has happened. And we, like I say, we went to the Russia game in Lille Stadium yesterday. And that's massive.
Quite a lot of empty seats, actually, which was possibly due to the problems that had happened and people thought, why bother?
Yeah.
Massive stadium, but a really great stadium.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. So let's go back to the start.
We went to Monday afternoon where we left off.
Monday afternoon?
Yeah.
Wow. So we went to the Paris fan park, which was great fun. The Irish fans and Swedish fans took over Paris. But ultimately, it was the Irish fans who were absolutely everywhere. All good fun, no problems at all. The game was all right. Enjoyed it in the fan park.
A bit scrappy, but yeah, it's fine. Absolutely fine.
But the main event was actually once the game ended. Dom and Weber went to the game, and they were getting the metro back, and then in a packed metro train with hundreds of Irish fans in there. They all started to get off the train and
Champs-Élysées, didn't they? Around there,
yeah.
I believe.
So they all started to get off the train. So the boys were like, "Well, look, we need to follow them and see what's going on." And it turned out that on this street in France called Place de Clichy.
Good pronunciation.
Thanks, mate. There must have been about 10,000 people there.
Yeah. Yeah, it was absolutely chocker.
Till about, well, we left at
five in the morning. Say five or something.
We left at 5 in the morning. There was a piss street. That's how.
They dedicated a street alleyway for their of piss.
Yeah.
We got loads of free beer as well because people got that drunk. They just started leaving beer everywhere.
And yeah, and because they yeah,
not
it was
open
a street
ones.
Party. They bought too much as well. So
yeah.
that was all right.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have admitted that, Craig. You're scrounging.
Fine. Doesn't matter.
Don't worry about it. But it was joy. It was a great atmosphere. No trouble at all.
My biggest thing I noted, I think you said you saw one or two, but I seriously now, maybe I was a little bit drunk, but I seriously didn't see any police there.
There was police at each end just so that the cars that would want to go down that street knew that they couldn't.
But I mean, the fact, I have no reason to doubt that, fine, there were, but the fact I don't remember seeing any, says it all.
Yeah.
For a crowd of 10,000.
Yeah, well,
it's insane. And I think it's like the opposite in Lille. It's like 10,000 police to 500 England fans. It's ridiculous.
Well, there you go. I mean, fast forward 2 days and we head to Lille. To Russia, Slovakia, and I was nervous. Were you nervous?
We were a bit nervous, weren't we? Yeah, because I think a few family members rang us up and said, don't go, the Russian fans can do X, Y, Z. And what we ended up learning, the irony was, because the ground's slightly out of the city centre, you have to get the tube out of the way. And ironically, it was probably the safest place in Lille, the ground.
Yeah.
Because all the dickheads, the Russian dickheads, and potential English and Welsh hooligans, whatever, they were all in the city centre. Mm. And the game was tranquil, wasn't it?
It was
tranquil. It was really quiet and calm. There was nothing going off. It was lovely.
It was so funny. So I've been doing vlogs and videos and all that stuff for Ball Street. And that was that's what I thought my sort of vlog for the day was going to be, was like going heading out to Lille, being nervous about heading to Lille, you know, and because from what we'd read, it looked like something was could kick off at the game. Mm-hmm. And going to the Russia game, speaking English, might have been a bit troublesome. So, and then I realised I'm in the Russia end. Outside the ground, I don't know if it was down your end, you were at the other end from me,
yeah, but
it did seem quite eerie. Like, the Slovakian fans weren't singing songs, the Russian fans weren't singing songs. Everyone's just really quiet.
Yeah, I'll go firm. Not only was it not intimidating or aggressive, it was quite a bit placid at times. It was quite...
I felt like everyone was a little bit on edge, so they weren't able to just...
Let
themselves go and scream from the rooftops that I'm a Slovakian fan. Because actually, the Slovakian fans inside the ground were amazing.
We were right on top of them, so weirdly, even though we were close to them, I didn't have a very good view of them, but you said they were bouncing.
They were awesome. They were absolutely amazing. So, as I say, I was sort of, I'm walking up the stairs, I've got in, and then there's a moment where there was no one around me, so I'm like, I'm proper Danny Dyer in it, got my phone out, and I'm like, right, guys, I've got, I'm going into enemy territory now, so I'm going to keep your mouth shut now, keep your nut down, because I don't, I'm going in there, and I'm going to get the stuff for us, but, right, signing off. 2 seconds later,
corporate
patio doors. Hospital. Somehow, my Category C ticket, which I bought for £16 off via GoGo.
I mean, I was Category 4, and it was great view, but it wasn't luxurious in any way.
I couldn't believe
it. Was one up. It was jackpot.
If anyone's sort of been, I guess, to the corporate bits at grounds where you're just like, oh, the carpet. There's carpet.
Yeah.
And there was a carpet. And I was like, what? And then I walked in with some other English fans, and they were as bemused as I was. And then, you see the patio doors.
Yeah.
And then I walked out, and I was literally in line with the penalty spot, the best seat I've ever had.
If I'm totally honest, mate, you won't shut up about how good your view was. It's ridiculous.
In there lies a real truth about football, actually, because as good as the seat was, I was kind of around English fans, German fans, basically people who weren't that bothered, and it was completely silent.
Yeah.
Russian fans were above me, couldn't see them. Slovakian fans were the other end of the pitch. And it just goes to show that, I mean, the views, that's important, but it's who you're there with.
I think you'll get that international games, especially tournaments, because there's so many neutral fans there, who like ourselves, just went for a bit of a laugh. The atmosphere's going to take a little hit, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's not 50-50 fans of two clubs and stuff.
That's true. But the game was great. Hamzik was an absolute worldie.
Yeah,
goalless on it.
I still like Modric's, even though I think the keeper slightly messed up before he caught him off. But it was good. Yeah, it was good.
So no trouble, which was nice.
Then we found a lovely, just to kind of add to this tranquil atmosphere, we found a nice little quiet bar with a nice little beer garden, kids running around after the game.
And it was nice to have an actual beer with alcohol in it, because I'd had a nightmare.
Jacob was after the game, and I said, "You're right, mate." He said, "Yeah, I'm just trying to get through the day, a bit hungover and stuff." And then he said, his general rule is have 2 pints, I guess you're going again. He said, I have 2 pints in the ground, and I still feel like shit and stuff. I said, you do know they don't have alcohol in their minds. £6.50 you pay for non-alcohol
for wheat juice.
2 pints
of barley juice.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, that was a
but you were laughing because you got hydrated from it, didn't you?
Exactly. So yeah, win-win.
Yeah.
So we did spend one or two beers there, then headed back. Then what happened?
We went to the fan park then.
We went straight to the fan park.
To watch France play Albania. We were there for about an hour and a half before kickoff. Quite a few England fans in there jumping about. And we, as English fans ourselves and fans of English teams, we know when it's not going to kick off.
Yeah.
They were singing, jumping about, a bit of beer was being chucked, and we knew that's not going to go off, but you could see on a few French people's faces, a few of the score, they were a bit wary. And I just wanted to go up to him and say, don't worry, it's fine. Yeah. It's fine, leave it. The Irish are doing this, but it didn't go off.
I mean, singing 10 German Bombers, which is another problem that we need to change the songs that we're doing, because that's...
We mentioned this yesterday, didn't we? We mentioned this yesterday. I'm sick of da-da-da's having a party. Not that one, sorry. Wigs on Fire, then adapt your striker's name into the relevant slot. I'm bored of that one now.
It's a new era.
And I'm worried
it's like tick-a-tack of football, but chanting.
Yeah, I'm worried that's going to be taken into the club season.
It will. It's going to be absolutely everywhere.
I'm sick of it.
Looking forward to Poulter's on Fire, Sebastian Poulter.
But he never will be, will he?
Nope.
So yeah, the chanting. Do it, Paul.
Yeah, so they cracked. You know, they cracked on, and that was fine, because that's the thing. There's lulls in between games. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, so they all have sing song again. Exact same thing happened in Paris. Actually, it was one thing to say. That was a great moment. English, it chucked it down in Paris, the day of the Portugal Iceland games, the day after the Irish game, and. Everyone got away from and sort of got under trees and stuff in the fan park, and then it stopped and they came back out.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a load of England fans and a load of Irish fans, and then they were just sort of basically having a sing off in the rain. I thought it was awesome.
It was great.
They were like both singing each other's national anthem, but big smiles on the faces, no problems at all. It was nice.
It was nice.
And then, so back to France, Albania, they were singing away, but that's fine. French fans have thought were good. For Loud, they don't like Giroud, do they?
No, they hate him. But he's in great scoring form. I don't know why he's that despised off the back of that run.
They seem to have problem. His hold-up play was quite poor.
Fine, but 79 goals. He's obviously in decent form. He is French.
They seem to like
his main striker. I'd think they only liked him because Drew went off.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, it's sort of the new guy. He's going to get more praise just because he likes him. But I think they're very harsh on Giroud. Don't get it.
Pike comes to the rescue again.
Play the tournament.
He is at the moment, play the tournament. West
Ham. Will West Ham keep hold of him?
It's going to be tough, isn't it?
It is. I think they would have done comfortably, but now the Euros have really raised his profile. I mean, even before the tournament, he scored a couple of worldy free kicks in friendly, didn't he?
Yeah.
Which raises his profile. I think they might have a little battle on their hands to keep hold of him. I think the new stadium will help.
He's got to... I think the good thing is that he only signed, didn't he, that year. It'd be interesting to see how long his contract is and how much money they can get from it. That will be dependent on the contract itself. Albania looked like they were going to get a draw.
Yeah, we were really rooting for Albania. Of course we were. The underdog thing, you have to, don't you? They almost did it. The manager's face, I felt so bad for him. He was gutty. I think he gave his assistant a big slap around the arm.
Did he?
Not intentionally, just stuck his hand out and he kind of struck him a little bit.
But yeah, that's what good teams do. They'll score goals late on. They've done it twice on the trot, so they're through, and that's great. So there was a real, glorious atmosphere.
It was in when they won.
Oh right, sorry. I thought you meant my wording of it.
No.
So they went mad. Nuts. Yeah, because they beat Albania, and then with the two late goals, it was then the final whistle, and then everyone was leaving.
Yeah.
We walked about
50 yards out of the fan park with thousands of French fans, and were kind of greeted with English fans.
Yeah, and the England fans are starting to sing the. We've got Payet song, which is all right. Anyway, they were singing that, and
let me just say that again. English fans were singing about a French player after a French victory. Should be good humoured. French fans were joining in.
Yeah.
Fine. What could go wrong? The French riot police could go wrong, and they come storming in.
So you walk up, we go up 50 yards, and then everyone sort of stopped for a second. Was singing the Payet song. Then a French lad gets a flare out. That they'd set off a flare in the
Several,
in the fan park, several, didn't they?
Yeah,
no problem. No,
here's a quick theory: are red flares the most aggressive flares?
I think
if a blue one goes off, it's not quite as intimidating.
Yeah, just thinking that. And then the police were literally in a line, ready to go.
Yeah,
ready to go. It was weird.
Mm.
It was really, really odd. But the thing that I guess we're not seeing is just normal. Normal England fans is there must be troublesome elements with the England fans. What? They're looking for French reports. They're off Stan Collymore talking about they're looking for revenge, trying to find different people.
The thing is, I'm really conscious
that minority, isn't it? And it's the same minority. There's only a few Russian fans who are these uber hooligans.
Uber hooligans, yeah.
But the police are panicking a bit, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because they're just through the tear gas and then we had to leg it.
I'm really conscious because we put a few things out there which is sympathetic to English fans and justified as well.
Mm.
And I'm conscious to say we know that all English fans aren't angels. There will be dickheads there somewhere, which is fine. But I'm still yet to witness a fan fighter fan. All I've seen so far is police chasing fans everywhere.
Yeah.
French fans in this case, English fans, Russian, good, decent Russian fans against Marseille as well. I've still not seen a fan fighter fan. I'm not saying it's not happened, but from my experience, and that's all I've got to go off at the moment, the French police just seem to run at people.
And until, when you read, you know, you go on your phone and you get back to the flat and look at how BBC are reporting it and other mainstream people are reporting it, and they're not completely condemning the English fans, but there's certainly the headlines, the pictures that they use, it's motivated suggestive. In a certain way.
It's suggestive,
it really
isn't it?
Feels like it is, and it's something that's really opened my eyes since I've been out here.
That's why I feel so passionate about doing stuff like this podcast and putting, you know, content out there on our Twitter page and whatnot. Do, I don't know, hopefully give a true reflection of what's happened.
Yeah. What's frustrating is that I felt so. I was there in Marseille and reported what I reported and put that vlog on Ball Street and it did all right. And then almost the press kind of caught up with the story that we put out there, which is great. But then it happened again yesterday, and then I think we're probably putting a video out now, reacting to it. And I'm thinking in my head, I bet we'll get comments. People going, because we've just said it twice now.
Yeah.
People going, oh look, you're just a hooligan sympathiser.
Yeah.
But it is like, it's always
I'll say that point again. I've still not seen a fan fire another fan. And we've been all over the country. I mean, again, right. I know that has happened. I know there's footage of that occurring, but
I've seen locals charge and then England fans charging back. And then, that's where you see the chairs get thrown. Mm. But yeah, you're right. I haven't seen that yet. But I've seen the things as well. We kept getting charged for about half an hour. Go back, go further back. Go back where? That's what I was like. Where do I, like, where if I need going? To go? Ultimately, we ended up having to go back where we came from because we got pushed out so far out the other way.
Yeah, they pushed us all the way to McDonald's, which was closed because we're a bit hungry about that point. But the thing we keep coming back to, which is really annoying, is we can't help but compare it to the scenes in Paris with the Irish fans. Good 10,000 of them, we estimate, doing exactly what English fans were doing outside the fan park yesterday. I didn't see a policeman, and it all seemed jovial, which it was, and it was great, and I don't...
Josh, just
is our previous reputation just destroyed any future enjoyment? Is that what's going on?
I don't know. I think that's what's happened. Just chatting to my boss, he made a really good point that it's the myth. That's what's perpetuating all of it, both good and bad. There's this great myth, not myth, sorry, this reputation for the Irish fans that they're you know, up for the crack, good fun, no trouble at all, just guys singing and drinking. And so they're left alone or celebrated. Then you've got the English fans, and this English hooligan it's not a myth, but it's dated.
Yeah.
But that reputation remains, which scares the police, which makes them behave a certain way, which makes the press behave a certain way.
You see it in league football now in England. The whole culture's changed from when I first started going to football and you know, back in the 70s, 80s and all the rest of it.
You still go to the football?
No. Yeah.
Oh,
no.
You?
Yeah. No, but you know what I mean. Back in the day. Anyway.
What you knew of it.
Yeah, what I knew of it. And it has. I mean, you see modern grounds now. I can't remember the last time I saw violence at a Stoke game. I can't remember the last time. So I think it has changed in football, league football in England. I think that's well known now. But our international reputation still exists.
But just to finish that point as well, is the reputation then, so the police behave a certain way. The press behave a certain way, and then other fans are behaving a certain way. The Russians,
but they
are
obviously
training
saw,
themselves,
which
for
is
it.
Pathetic.
And again, sorry, this is a minority of the Russians, but the problem element of the Russians are training themselves up based on the reputation that the English fans have.
And just a quick word on that. If you're training to fight an international football tournament, you're an absolute dickhead. You need to get yourself a wife. Because I've heard stories of them going to training camps and
Woods. It's always in the woods, isn't it?
Yeah, which makes it just a bit weirder.
So they're not getting the funding from the governing bodies to really get
which
a proper disgrace. Training complex. Which needs to change. If you want to get the results that you want, you've really got to invest.
You've got to put the work in. And I've seen footage of these supposed training camps, and they're often topless.
Yeah,
in the woods, and I don't know what they're doing.
Topless in the woods.
Is that the most
Nipple
pathetic?
As hard as you like.
Is that the most pathetic thing you've ever heard?
It seems unnecessary, doesn't it? I mean, I wouldn't say that to their face.
Oh, don't get me wrong, they'll be tough guys, but it doesn't mean they're clever guys. Or they've got a brain in their head.
Yeah. So that was up to last night.
So let's move on to football.
Okay.
It's the biggest game of the tournament. so far for England and Wales fans.
Bigger than the final, according to you.
Yeah, I think the demand is mental. We can't lose to Wales. I'm dreading it. I said that on the last podcast. I've got a bit of a history with certainly Cardiff City fans. We expanded to Wales in general, and I wasn't the biggest fan of Wales or certainly Cardiff for a long time. I can't bear the thought of losing to Wales today.
For us to have the team that we've got and to not to go into the last game and not have any momentum would be such a waste of the exciting squad that we saw in the first half against Russia. It should be like Euro 96 now. We've had a draw.
Yeah.
And actually we played better than we did back in Euro 96. But the next game, which our next game was against Scotland.
Yeah, oh yeah. We drew this in comparison, but they didn't win. It's so similar.
And it's that same moment. You've got the plucky Welsh. That's not being patronising. That's the fact that England will dominate the ball and are the favourites for the game. But they can do something. And Wales going to it.
They could qualify. No expectation.
Gareth Bale. Turning the pot.
Yeah.
But yeah, the game's going to be fascinating. I think the first 20, 30 minutes are huge because the problem with England in the first game is they weren't ruthless, but they did start well. So if they start well and are ruthless and get one goal up, I can't see anything but an England win.
So I mean, I'm sure Wales fans will disagree, but there really is. There's not much pressure on them now. It's the old world expected to lose. They've already won.
And they're almost through.
They are. They kind of need a draw. They might think, well, these third place qualifiers, which I don't understand how that works.
I think they probably would.
Despite all that, I think our general consensus, not Dom, Dom's a call for a Welsh fan, but I think England will win. I'm reasonably confident we'll do this today.
And I think Rooney's going to have the tournament of his life. I think this is the moment where people go, God, he was a good player.
Yeah.
Because he was awesome against Russia. And that game's set for him today.
Yeah.
Really set for him today, if you start to guess.
Wayne Rooney has scored more goals in tournament football than Bobby Charlton.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm. In actual tournaments, yeah. He had his good Euros, didn't he, originally?
Yeah, so Bobby, shut up.
Yeah. My point being here, I think Rooney deserves more credit, and I thought he was excellent the other day. And I think he's in them sort of years now where people get respect just for being older.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, he was all right, actually. Yeah,
and Sterling's at the start of it. I think we said that in the podcast. Sterling's at the start of it. He's had his good year and he's the best. And now, oh, hang on, where do we go with the story now? Right, let's drag him down.
Put him in the England scapegoat pen for a few years.
Exactly.
Let him mature and then let him out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, as a respected player, finally.
Yeah.
So, predictions, Craigie?
I reckon we'll win 2-0. And it'll be comfortable.
It will be. I think 2-0 is a good shout. I think it could be. 2-0, yeah.
Should we get Dom?
I said 3-0 last time.
Get Dom's prediction as well. Dom, you there?
Well, you know. Welsh accent.
It's Jamaican, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, good point. 1-0 England.
Well said, Dom. Erwin?
2-0 England.
That doesn't work as well. Yeah, cheers then, Dom, for that.
Yeah, no problem. So that's that. Pet hates, and then shall we go? Go get breakfast and then go watch the... So we're going to watch the game in the Lille Fan Park. Yep, that's right. The Lille Fan Park where... Apparently it's all going to kick off again.
Yeah.
Hopefully it doesn't. We get to just enjoy a game of football. But that's me being a football fan, hoping for the best, expecting the worst.
Yeah, and we're going to grab some breakfast now. I know it's not very conventional. I saw a burrito shop down the road.
Fresh burrito.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might tuck into that. It's a good shout.
Yeah.
Good, what time is it? 10:47.
We've often had... The amount of times we've had breakfast come dinners on this trip.
A lot of bread. You get a lot of carbs.
Yeah. Pet 8. You've got pet 8.
You've got one as well, yeah? You got a second one? I thought you had a second one. All right, here's the one. Well, firstly, overzealous police.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Here's a big one. This is Craig's, but he's forgotten it, so I'm going to say it for him.
Okay. Do you agree with this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lack of signage.
Yeah. It's driving me up the wall, because we've been to two games now, and we've sought out several fan parks, and there's no fucking signage anywhere. There's no signage.
Craig, let me put you in a position now.
Okay.
You're organising a tournament.
Uh-huh.
You've set up the stadium, you've got your fan park, that's great.
Pop that over there.
All of that stuff.
Yeah.
Then what do?
You put signs down.
So people know it's there.
For people that have never visited, more than likely, this city in their lives. And I truly think the Marseille, when it kicked off outside the England game in Marseille, I put them down to lack of signage. We got to that big round, didn't we?
Yeah.
And every English and Russian fan was just wandering around confused.
Yeah.
No one knew which, because the roundabout kind of, you could see the stadium, but you're not sure which way to get to the ground because of like, it was cold enough, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Russian and England fans alike were just wandering around. They didn't have a clue where to go. So the French police decided we'll sort this with tear gas and charge. And then we, again, yesterday went to the game, no signs of the stadium.
No.
And also what I want is I want a few happy, smiling volunteers just dotted around saying, welcome to France.
That's another thing.
Welcome
to
Lille.
There's a square, and they should just put up stalls there and things like that. It could have been a really nice zone. Maybe like a fan zone.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute.
That's a concept. Outside of the actual game. But I just want a few little volunteers saying, welcome to Lille. Have a good time. Enjoy your stay. Instead,
you're making this up.
I don't know what that was. But instead, you're greeted with cameras by riot police. I've seen quadruple the amount of riot police than I ever have friendly volunteers.
Yeah. They're not even remotely
friendly. I think their agenda is, God, they look miserable and hard.
Yeah.
Intimidate people.
So what's going to happen today in terms of the fans? Is it going to be all okay? Or exactly. What can you see happen? Call it now, Chris.
Exactly. I really truly think that English and Wales fans will get along fine. I think they've been unified by the Russian thing a little bit. And that, I think the same thing will happen as last night. Everyone will get run by French police.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Really, the problem as well is that it only needs to happen between like three English fans and three Welsh fans.
Yeah.
England and Welsh clash.
Yeah.
Then the headline's there.
Yeah.
But I really hope all the England fans just behave themselves and enjoy the game.
Yeah.
I'm not finding it enjoyable, that part of it. I just want to support
it. It has kind of overshadowed the tournament a little bit.
Yeah, as in all the games have been good, I think. Not many goals, but interesting games.
Definitely. It's been good.
So there you go. And this will be the last podcast as a four. I can leave you the... probably should talk about this afterwards, but I can leave you the mic if you want, mate. Because I'm heading off after this.
You can turn off if you go. We're not doing one tomorrow morning before you go.
We'll give it a go.
Review the game. Just a quick 10-minute one. But... yes, it potentially the last podcast of the tournament. We'll put a few more bits and bobs on Twitter and Facebook and all the rest of it.
Yeah, massive thing there actually. But the boys have got some wicked stuff, some really funny bits, like the good stuff of the tournament as well as the bad stuff, and it's all on Twitter. So at GT4AB.
And I really pushed this image, and I think the lads are sick of me saying how funny I think it is. But my funniest picture is two Irish fans who got stuck in hedgerows in Paris. I think I've captured it well.
Yeah, football turn-up.
Check, it is a little bit. It's on our Facebook page and our Twitter to check it out. It is really funny.
And if you've been enjoying our podcast, then please, go onto iTunes, subscribe to us and leave a review, a five-star review. Just to put five stars, easy enough, isn't it?
Yeah. We're getting some good comments this one. Yashin Mohammed.
He's a good guy,
chipping in, so that's appreciated. He's chipping his opinions on the tournament.
Okay. And Paddy.
Paddy, of course, yeah.
Paddy, happy birthday. Happy 30th birthday. Paddy, my mate, he lives in Paris now and he came and met us for a bit, which was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And he listened to the podcast, so I can't remember what he said. He's an artist. And we're going to his artistry comment.
You asked him what his most artistic moment of the tournament was.
And you butted in and didn't let him speak.
Yeah, you were raging.
Yeah.
For me, it's Bulgaria scoring there. The emotion is fantastic.
Stop saying Bulgaria.
Hungarian scoring. The passion was phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. So there you go, Paddy. Happy birthday, mate. Apologies that Craig chipped in on you when I asked you that question, which could have been in the podcast, but now it's forgotten forever.
Don't worry about it.
Because you ruined it. A bit like some of the scenes here. That's you.
That's a shit tie-up.
Yep. Okay, so a bit of Andrea Corr, maybe to... to be fair, there's four of them. Three sisters and a brother.
Do you know the names of the other ones?
Sinead?
Don't know.
Probably something like that. So, keep supporting your team. Sensibly. Keep supporting Great Touch for a Big Lad. And we'll see you on the other side. Come on, England!